This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Reagan Mertz, here with your top stories this Thursday. The Aspen-Pickens County Airport officially broke ground on its modernization project yesterday. County leaders, airport staff, and community members gathered at the project site in a ceremony to mark the start of construction. Beginning this month, crews will start early construction work on the west side of the airport. The airport will be closed from April to November 2027. For project updates and additional resources, visit aspenairport.com/construction. For 15 years, a summer learning program has been helping kids throughout the Roaring Fork Valley stay on track. And as Aspen Public Radio's Hannah Weaver reports, some former students have returned to the program as educators.
According to Brown University, the average elementary school student can lose up to a third of their math and English progress over the summer. Summer Advantage aims to lessen that learning loss. Vanessa Bryant was a student in 2011, the very first year of the program. Even back then, she liked helping out in the classroom. Now, she's helping shape the next generation of scholars as a teaching assistant for the program.
I still have those memories from back then to now, and I share it with my class that I have now, just so that they know I was in that seat that you're sitting in.
And she's not the only one. Ingrid Alfaro is also a former Summer Advantage student turned educator. As the summer comes to a close, she's feeling bittersweet about saying goodbye to her kindergarten students.
You make such big connections with them, and you earn trust with them. It's such a beautiful feeling.
The teachers and students will celebrate the end of this year's program with graduation ceremonies on Friday. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Hannah Weaver.
Roaring Fork Schools has a new chief academic officer as of yesterday. The district announced Jessica Pivko to the role, which drives academic achievement. She comes to the Roaring Fork Valley from the state's biggest district, Denver Public Schools. Pivko held similar leadership positions there and also has a background as a teacher. She's swapping places with her predecessor, Stacy Park, who left for Denver in May. Aspen is bracing for a 10-month shutoff of its hydroelectric power plant at Rudi Reservoir. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports that's because water levels are getting too low.
The latest forecasts show water dipping below the power pool in just a few weeks. That's the minimum threshold to produce electricity. Rudi Hydro accounts for almost a fifth of Aspen's power supply. The city plans to replace it with electricity from a Nebraska green energy provider. That's expected to cost the city about $700,000. Aspen City staff announced the impending shutoff in a report earlier this week. The declining water levels are due to persistent drought conditions. Less water is coming in from snowpack, and water users downstream with rights to the reservoir are calling for more water. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Michael Finelli.
The city of Aspen is also planning to build a second turbine at the reservoir. It hopes that will help generate power at lower water levels. Today and tomorrow, Colorado Parks and Wildlife will consider imposing a daily hunting limit for fur bearers and a ban on commercial fur sales. The Post-Independent reports it's the latest chapter in a years-long debate over how these species, which include beavers, foxes, coyotes, bobcats, martens, and other mesocarnivores, should be managed. For those interested in tuning into the meetings, a live stream is available at CPW's website. In regional news, a pilot supporting firefighting operations on the Gold Mountain Fire near Ouray was killed Sunday when his aircraft crashed into a nearby reservoir. As KVNF's Audrey McCabe reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, community members lined the streets of Montrose on Monday to pay their respects.
The crowd was solemn as a line of emergency vehicles passed. The procession was escorting the body of Nicholas Dale, a helicopter pilot who died while fighting the Gold Mountain Fire on Sunday. The first responders drove by with stoic expressions and their eyes on the road ahead of them. But there was palpable emotion among the residents watching.
When you have people that are brave enough to risk their lives to help us and make life better for us, you can't help but be on this lineup with all these flags and get teary-eyed because a young man gave his life in order to protect us.
That was Montrose County Commissioner Sue Hansen. Dale, the pilot, was a 56-year-old man from Sooke, British Columbia. He was the sole occupant of the helicopter. The aircraft went down shortly after 5 p.m. Sunday evening and crashed into the Silverjack Reservoir. The crash is currently being investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board and the Federal Aviation Administration.
That report was from KVNF's Audrey McCabe. When President Trump drastically cut Bears Ears National Monument on Monday, he also undid years of collaboration with several indigenous nations. For the Mountain West News Bureau, David Kondos has more from Utah.
The Bears Ears Commission was created along with the monument by President Obama a decade ago. It was a first-of-its-kind partnership between federal agencies and five tribes to incorporate Native knowledge into the monument's management. Trump's proclamation cut Bears Ears' size by 91% and terminated that commission entirely. Davina Smith-Ijesa is a member of the Navajo Nation and the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. She says the administration did not consult local tribes at all about this major change. But she says a proclamation won't end tribes' longstanding connections to their ancestral home.
You can abolish a commission, you can redraw a boundary, but you cannot erase our prayers from this land. You cannot erase us. We are still here.
And Smith-Ijesa says tribal advocates will continue to speak up about protecting the Bears Ears region. I'm David Kondos in St. George.
That story comes to us from Mountain West News Bureau partner KUER in Utah. One of the strictest state bans on abortion in the country could be overturned. Voters in Idaho will be asked whether they want to restore abortion rights in November. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Jolie Lucchetta has more.
The organization Idahoans United for Women and Families has gathered enough qualifying signatures in support of the Reproductive Freedom and Privacy Act ballot initiative. If passed, the law would allow abortions up to fetal viability and when the health of the mother is in danger.
Put very simply, this law restores us to the standard that we had under Roe in Idaho for nearly five decades.
That's Melanie Falwell, director of the campaign. The campaign collected roughly 110,000 signatures over the last 10 months and relied on the help of more than 1,200 unpaid volunteers.
That was Julie Lucchetta reporting for the Mountain West News Bureau in Boise, Idaho. In statewide news, a shuttered prison in Weld County is set to reopen as an immigration detention center. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Kyle McKinnon reports.
The Hudson facility is about 30 miles northeast of Denver. It was formerly the Hudson Correctional Facility and has been closed since 2014. The private prison company, Geo Group, has signed a five-year contract with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, to reopen the site. There isn't an opening date, but the lease for the so-called Bighorn facility will begin August 1st. It will hold up to nearly 1,200 detainees. Geo Group already runs Colorado's only other immigration detention facility in Aurora. State and local officials say there's little they can do to block the move.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Colorado business leaders are feeling a little better about their economic prospects than they were a few months ago. CPR Sarah Mulholland reports on CU's latest business confidence index.
Despite the slight uptick in confidence, the state's executives are still relatively downbeat, according to a report from CU economists. Roughly one-third cited inflation, interest rates, and general cost pressures as the biggest influence on their outlook. Another third pointed to policy instability. Some also said geopolitical events and global conflict were key. 214 panelists responded to the survey conducted in June. I'm Sarah Mulholland, CPR News.
The state of Colorado owns a lot of land and property. Now, as CPR Sam Brash reports, the state has a new partnership to power it building with renewable energy.
The Colorado State Land Board will tap community solar to power most of its buildings. The model is an alternative to rooftop solar. Rather than putting panels directly on a building, community solar lets buildings offset their power bills by subscribing to an off-site solar farm. Through a partnership with developer Pivot Energy, the state estimates it'll save $25,000 a year and comply with its own climate standards. I'm Sam Brash, CPR News.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team, News Director Holly Zander, Associate Editor Sage Smiley, reporters Michael Finelli and Hannah Weaver, and mere host Reagan Mertz. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.